Hey everyone, just taking a quick 15 seconds to let you know that my new book, The Fitness Mindset, Eat for Energy, Train for Attention, Manage Your Mindset, and Reap the Results, which hit the bestseller list within 24 hours of its release, is now available to buy on Amazon. So if you're looking for everything you need to get into incredible shape and the mindset to keep it forever, be sure to check it out. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset. With your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is pooled Q&A from my Instagram, Brian Keane Fitness. So some cool questions came in on my Instagram live. So I'm going to take a couple of them and answer them here on the podcast. So if you're not on my Instagram, be sure to check that out, Brian Keane Fitness. There and Snapchat, BrianK019, are the main two places I take the questions for the podcast. So a massive thank you in advance for everyone who sent these in. So first question comes in from Mike G the Machine. What do you think of blood flow restriction training? So to give a little bit of context on blood flow restriction training, it's effectively where you raise the body part that you're training at the end of a set above your heart rate in order to maximize blood flow by restricting basically the amount of blood that goes to the muscle. To be completely honest with it, and the reason I'm answering this in the podcast is I do get asked it pretty frequently. I never got an awful lot from it, and I've tried it on legs, I've tried it on arms, where I've elevated my hands above my head at the end of the set, where I've elevated my feet above my head at the end of a set on a leg press where I was lying on the floor. I never got that much from it, if I'm being completely honest. The science behind why it works is obviously down to the fact that you're going to get a flood of blood flow when you do drop your arms down or do drop your feet down, but I never got that much from it as a training technique. But what I would advise is definitely try it out. If you Google blood flow restriction training, it'll give you a very, very simple breakdown where you're effectively just raising the body part you're training at the end of the set. So if you're doing a lying leg press on the floor, that instead of dropping your feet to the floor after 10 reps, you keep it elevated above your head and then you don't drop it until the last set, your third or fourth set, whatever it is you're doing in your training program. I'm not a massive fan. There's other systems I way prefer that I think are just simpler. I love DTP, which is Dramatic Transformation Principle. It's effectively a high volume pyramid that comes down from 50 reps to 10 and back up to 50. I love German volume, which is 10 sets of 10. I love partial systems and different drop sets and things that you can add in that I've always found personally to be way more effective for me. But that's not to say that blood flow restriction training won't work tremendously well for you. I just didn't find it that good for me. Okay, next question comes in from Money T Mac. I work in a bookmaker's. Any tips to get my brain working quicker on finances and when I'm handling money? So I'm going to answer this question to try and provide as much value to anybody here. I know a lot of people that listen to the podcast, and if you're probably one of these people, if you're listening to my podcast, I'm big on optimal performance and making sure that your brain is working so that you can retain more information, you can learn more, and you can basically perform at a higher level in your studies and retaining information in books you're reading, at work, in school, wherever it is. So I'm going to share with what I use, and I'm not going to go into my normal traditional, be sure you look after your nutrition, because that is number one. If you're eating crappy food and junk food and processed food, you're going to have too much information in your body, probably too much information in your brain, and it's not going to help your ability to concentrate and retain information. So I'm assuming that everything is good with your nutrition, you're eating good quality complex carbohydrates, good healthy fats, complete protein sources, good vitamins and minerals, and nutrient dense foods. There are a couple of things that I use for brain function that works tremendously well for me. Number one is brain boosting supplements and natural nootropics that I add to my green smoothie in the morning. So every morning, the first thing that I have, particularly on days where I'm writing, I've now started researching for my second book. When I was writing my first book, the best-selling book, The Fitness Mindset, when I'm doing blog posts, when I'm doing podcasts or doing videos, I always make sure I have a green smoothie in the morning that has some brain boosting ingredients so that I'm at my optimal in terms of my ability to retain information or my ability to project and break down the information that I'm trying to provide when I'm trying to serve and give more value. So there are certain ingredients I add to that smoothie. For example, I have things like rice protein, colostrum in there, some collagen on days that I'm running. But the ones that I'll add for my brain function is I use the Nuun Naturals Brain Fuel, which is a mixture of maca and spirulina and different natural ingredients that can help get your brain firing better. I use Bacopa Moneri, which is a natural nootropic that has been shown to basically just make your neurons fire better. The neurons that wire together, fire together, or that fire together, wire together. And it can help your body's ability and your brain's ability to retain more information and be able to slow down your thought process so that you're able to speak more clearly and bring across your ideas in a more articulate way. So I add in my Bacopa Moneri, I add in my Brain Fuel, and then every morning I supplement with phytosylserine, which is a natural nootropic. Actually, one of the reasons I started taking this was Amanda from Recalibrated Bodies. She's a friend of mine. I prepped her for her first show, herself and Daniel. Back when I was in that scene and I was prepping people and I was in that whole world, and they're very good friends of mine, Recalibrated Bodies, both of them, Amanda and Daniel, and it was Amanda that turned me on to phytosylserine first, and I was researching it as an anti-inflammatory and reducing muscular fatigue in athletes. And what was happening when I was taking it was I found that I was retaining information much better during the mornings when I was listening to audiobooks or when I was reading. So as I started to go down the rabbit hole of natural nootropics, I got the Everything You Need to Know book about natural nootropics. I found out that phytosylserine was a very, very proven nootropic for helping you retain more information. So it's something that I add in every morning now, particularly on times when I have to do a lot of thinking or I'm doing creative content. So what I would advise anybody that wants to improve their concentration, assuming that the nutrition is good, you're doing things like your training or your meditation, things that are clearing your mind and disconnecting you, consider adding in some natural nootropics, or at least experimenting with them or doing your own due diligence on looking them up and seeing if they land with you. I had tried the Alpha Brain on it. Alpha Brain, which is a put together supplement that has all the natural nootropics. It's got ginkgo biloba on it. It's got a load of different ingredients added, but I didn't get an awful lot from it. It was quite considerably underdosed when I did try it, and it's quite an expensive product. So if you were to take the dose that you really need, you'd probably be spending, you know, 50 euro a week, 60 euro a week on it. So you're probably going to be better to do a little bit of research yourself on natural nootropics, on what ones fit into your budget, and then trial them and double down on the ones that work. Again, if your nutrition isn't good and you're eating junk food and you're not providing your body with the nutrients and vitamins and minerals that it needs, your omega-3, your DHA, your EPA, that's in extra strength omega-3s, or from oily fish, you're not going to get the benefit of them. But if you do have your nutrition on point and then you start adding these in, they can move things to the next level. And I have found a considerable increase in my brain's ability to retain information and break down ideas even in a more articulate way than I normally would be able, down to the clearness that it provides in my head. So that is something that I would recommend and something that I would have a look into, and then trial it and see, and be sure to let me know. Okay, next question comes in from Nemus Prime One. Any tips on getting over anxiety going back to the gym? Okay, so this is really, really common. I know myself, I'm a long time in the fitness industry between training and working with people, and that anxious feeling of before you go into a new gym or before you go back to the gym after a long period of time can be very debilitating. And I love the Arnold Schwarzenegger quote that you can't be paralyzed by fear, but that's effectively how it can feel sometimes when you've taken a break from the gym, and the thoughts of going back can put you into a mild state of paralysis where you just don't want to do it and you're anxious even thinking about it. What I'm going to do here on this question, or to answer this question, is I'm going to provide you with a little bit of insight that has been very liberating and free for me in dealing with anxiety in all areas of my life, but particularly when it comes to the gym. One of the things that people do when they join the gym is normally to try and improve their own body image, their own strength, their own way they feel about themselves, their own fitness, So anyone that's in a gym for 99.9% of the time is there to try and improve themselves in some way, shape, or form. What happens is when we haven't been in the gym in a while, or we've never joined it before, or we're afraid to go or anxious to go, we're so worried that everybody's going to be looking at us or talking about us or saying things about us. And the irony of it is the gym is probably the one place where people aren't focused on what you're doing. They're looking at themselves in the mirror, they're checking out their own form, or they're focused on their own workout because that's why they're there. They're there to become a better version of them, a stronger version of them, a fitter version of them, or a more attractive or leaner version of them, whatever it is that each person's goal is. They're not focused on you. Like, if you think about your exact situation right now, and every time you're in the gym, who are you focused on? You're looking at yourself in the mirror, you're worrying about your form, and you're worrying about your workout. With the exception of the odd hot yoga girl that's in yoga pants that walks by where every guy looks, no one is focused on any, and we're such a simple creature, guys are so much simpler than girls. But with the exception of that, we really don't even be paying attention to who else is in the gym. So what I would advise anybody that feels that anxious state coming on before they step foot in a gym is just catch it and realize that nobody is paying attention to what you're doing. You're not paying attention to what they're doing. So use that knowledge, because when I figured that out first and I realized when I looked around the gym that nobody was looking at me, everybody was worried about what they were doing, that's a very liberating feeling for stepping into a gym first or joining a new gym or going back after a long break. So I would advise just have a think on that. And when you can articulate that in your own mind and realize that that's exactly what you do, when you're in the gym, you're focused on you, that's how everybody else is. They're not focused on what you're wearing. They're not focused on how you look. They're focused on themselves. That's why they're in the gym in the first place. And even knowing that can be so liberating and so freeing and will hopefully reduce your anxiety and get you back in the gym sooner. Okay, next question comes in from Joe O'Neill Fitness. I'm studying sports science in college and I want to be a PT in the future. Any tips? Okay, the biggest piece of advice I can offer anybody that's doing a sports science degree or a strength and conditioning degree or anything within that space that wants to go into the fitness industry or become a full-time personal trainer is start educating yourself on how to run a business. I know a lot of people who have came through sports science degrees, strength and conditioning degrees, master's in nutrition degrees, and are working a normal job now because they didn't know how to run a business to help and serve more people. The key to being a successful personal trainer, in my opinion, whether that be online or one-to-one or a combination, whatever it is that looks like for you, is obviously providing more value and serving and helping more people, but you need to know the bread and butter basics about how to run a business, your marketing, your advertising, your sales, because you can have all the knowledge in the world on sports science, you can know everything you need to know about biomechanics and the nutritional systems that people need to follow, but if you can't market it and get it out there to tell people who you are, you're not going to be able to make enough sales and provide the service to people so that you can put food on your table, which effectively means you can't run a business. So what I would advise you do is now, over the next year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it is start educating yourself on business so that when you come out and you've got your sports science degree, you're literally going to be able to go straight balls to the wall with helping and serving more people. Your marketing is basically your bread and butter way of getting people to know who you are, whether you're using social media marketing, whether you're using traditional marketing, you're letting people know who you are, because when you bring them into your ecosystem, they may buy a product or a service or whatever it is that you have, and then that's your lifeblood of your business. There's no good being the very best sports scientist or the very best nutritionist or the best strength and conditioning coach if nobody knows who you are and you can't help them, serve them, and provide them with any value. So you need to be able to market to those people, you need to be able to make the sales so that you can grow and scale your business even bigger, and you need to be able to use an eclectic style of learning so that you're not just grounded in the scientific route. What I love about science, and I have a bit of a love-hate, is science is so black and white, it's normally very right or wrong, but it changes consistently. And I spoke about this in my book, The Fitness Mindset, that science is always changing. We once thought that margarines and breakfast cereals and cornflakes and Special K and Rice Krispies were a good way to start your day. We now know that they're loaded with sugar, they've got no fiber, and the vitamins and minerals are very poorly absorbed, that it's probably not the best way to start your day. But for a long period of time, that's what we thought, because that's what science told us was the most up-to-date. Again, coming away from the things like the corrupted studies about saturated fat and all the different areas that came out within the United States in the last few years about the false claims that saturated fat actually has any link to cholesterol, and that it's actually largely when you link sugar in an inflammatory state and then add in saturated fat is what causes heart disease and causes cholesterol issues that can lead to long-term damage. Coming away from that side, science changes. And sometimes when you go through a sports science background or you go through a science background in general, you can get very, very married to the ideas that this is the way that things are and this is the way the world works. Business doesn't work that way. The people that have successful businesses are the people that are able to move and pivot in the direction of the market and help and provide and give more value and service to anybody else. The people that are doing the best are the people that have the best products, they have the best services, or they're providing the most value, or the combination of all three. That's how you run a successful business. Sometimes when you come from a science background that's very black or white, yes or no, very binary, it can be a little bit harder to move into business where you have to be able to pivot. There's a reason that people like Henry Ford and Richard Branson, who Henry Ford of Ford Motors, Richard Branson of Virgin, Virgin Media, Virgin Active, Virgin Airways, there's a reason these people failed in school and that they became billionaires and some of the most successful people on the planet. They weren't stuck in that school system of this is right or wrong. They learn to move with the markets. They learn to move with the world. And as a result, they were able to help serve and provide more value to more people. And as a result, they are living the life of luxury in Necker Island. Richard Branson has his own island. He's one of the richest men in the world because he helps more people, because he didn't come through that strict system of this is right or wrong. So if you can merge the two and you can take all the amazing stuff that's in science and all the most up-to-date research and you can help and serve more people as a result, and you learn to pivot with the market, you learn to adapt to social media or augmented reality or virtual reality or artificial intelligence or whatever it is that the direction the world is going in, if you're able to do that and combine it with being the best at what you do, you're going to have an incredible business that's going to be able to help serve and provide more value to the world, and it'll be a better place because that business was here. So that would be my main advice, would be do the sports science, become the very, very best that you can with that. But on your side hustle, when you have free time, start educating yourself on how to run a business, your marketing, your sales, your advertising. And then when you come out of college, merge the two and then go take over the world. Okay, next question comes in from an anonymous one on Snapchat. Brian, your life seems so great. I'm always bored and unhappy with how things are going. So I'm going to answer this one on the podcast purely because I think it can provide a lot of value, because I was in a very, very similar position, and I wrote about it in the mindset section of my book that when I was 25 and I was walking down the street in East London, that I was listening to Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and he was talking about the scenario that you're in a funeral home and you're sitting there and you're looking into this coffin and the person looking back at you is a reflection of yourself, and people are here 5 years from now at your funeral. And he talked about your family members, your friends, your work colleagues coming up talking about how you impacted their lives. And to be very frank and honest, and I spoke about this in the book, I wasn't happy with the answers I was getting back. I was living a life where I wasn't really helping and serving as many people as I felt I was capable of doing. I was falling into that bracket of dying by 25 but not buried until I was 80, and I was very conscious and aware that I was not happy with the thoughts I was conjuring in my mind having listened to that book. And I talked about it in detail in my mind book, The Fitness Mindset. And the truth is, there's a reason that anyone that's been listening to this podcast or following me on social media, you didn't hear anything about me before 25. I'm 29 now, because I didn't do anything before 25. I was letting the fear stop me. I was letting what my family and my friends and other people were telling me that I should do, I was letting their opinion dictate the direction I took my life. And I'm so heavy now on that other people's opinion doesn't have to become your reality. But I was that person. I would let people like my father, I would let people like my family, I would let people like my friends tell me that I was stupid for dreaming of this fitness thing and that I should stick to my teaching job and that I should go down the safe path. The truth is, the safe path isn't safe if you've got a bigger calling. If you're one of those people that feels like you're dying at 25, but you're not going to be buried for another 70, 80 years, then it's probably the universe's way, or your brain or your body or your spirit or whatever your belief system is, way of telling you that you were put on this planet to do more. Now, I'm not speaking to those people who are happy with their life. If you love what you do and you love your life, I'm not speaking for you. You've already won. But I was 25, and I always resonate when people tell me that they're unhappy with their lives and they're bored with their lives, because I was that person. I was doing the same thing as everybody else and I was getting the same results as everybody else. And when I made the decision, and effectively it all starts with a decision, that I wasn't going to let other people's opinions dictate the direction of my life anymore, everything took a different direction. Everything took a different trajectory. And then when Holly was born 2 years ago, it exploded because it gave me a completely new fire. The truth is, the reason that my life is so great now, and I'm the first one to admit that I love my life. I knew success is subjective to each person, so find what success means to you. But for me, my version of success was waking up every single morning and realizing that if I won the lotto tomorrow, or I had 10 million euro or 50 million euro or 100 billion euro in my bank account, I would still do what I'm doing now. That's my version of success. And what happened was, when I made the decision that I needed to impact the world in another way and I needed to try and help and serve more people, my unhappiness started to turn to happiness. And I love the philosophy that happiness comes when what you have to offer the world merges with what the world needs. And as cheesy as sometimes that may sound, that's how I live my life by. And I am the first, and I'm not flashy. I don't put up pictures of Ferraris or jets or high flyers on my Instagram. That's not what I do. By all means, I have no problem with the people that do that. Go do you. My life is a lot simpler as long as I have my closest inner circle, as long as I have my daughter, I have my favorite books, I have a gym where I can work out, I have access to people that I can help. My life is complete. I don't need the flashy things. Again, by all means, there's nothing wrong if you're one of those people that likes those nice things and you like the big cars or whatever it is. That's each person's own. It's just not my truth. And what happened at the age of 25 was, I made the decision that I wasn't going to let the opinions, I wasn't going to let society, I wasn't going to let people closest to me tell me what I needed to be anymore, tell me who I needed to become, because I knew, and I knew deep down, and even at 19 or 20, I knew I had more to offer. I was very good at remembering information and retelling it back. It's one of the reasons that I was such an effective teacher, and all I do now is effectively the same thing, just on a bigger scale. I'm able to hit thousands and hundreds of thousands of more people as opposed to 30 children in the classroom. So they say that your mess becomes your message. And if you're somebody that has that unhappiness and has that boredom and you're wondering what you're doing with your life, we've all had that feeling. The only difference between the people that have made the decision to move their life in a different direction is they've stopped letting other people's opinion dictate the direction of their life. And I've spoken about this in other podcasts. My most downloaded one, which is How to Find Your Life Purpose, and the advice I'd offer my 18-year-old self, they're my two most downloaded podcast episodes, and I spoke a lot more on this. And the truth is, I know exactly how that feels. If you're bored and you're looking at other people's lives, thinking their life is better, and I speak regularly that comparison is the thief of joy, and by all means, compare yourself against yourself. But when you start comparing yourself to other people and comparing yourself to the external things that they have, you're never going to be happy, because if you're always looking for something external to fuel your happiness, then you always need something external to fuel your happiness. And the truth is, happiness comes from process. If you can't be happy at a destination, how are you going to be happy at the journey? The key is finding what's the process. One of the reasons that I say myself, and I'm the first one to say that I'm very successful for what success means to me, because I love the process. I love making podcasts. I love doing Snapchat Q&As. I love making videos. I love writing books. I love speaking to people. That's my truth. It's what I love to do. That's process. The money that comes with that, the recognition that comes with that, the opportunities that come with that are all bonus territory because you love the process. So the biggest advice I would offer to anybody that is wondering how to figure out a life where they're bored or unhappy with what they're doing is find the things that make you happy and do more of it. Find the things that make you unhappy and do less of it. Your life purpose, the things that you want to do, we all know. It's relative. For some people, it's to be a great mom or dad. For other people, it's to be the best son or daughter they can be. For other people, it's to grow a business that can help serve thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. For other people, it's to play top inter-county sport or to be the best athlete you can be. Whatever that calling is within you, and we all have it, but we ignore it. We let society tell us we can't. We let our family or friends tell us we shouldn't. We let other people's opinion dictate the direction in which we take our lives. If you want to have the life that you want, and we all know what that is, we know what that looks like. It's something more. And sometimes you don't have the full vision and it's blurry, but you know what you're doing isn't the right path. If you're working in an office 9 to 5 and you hate what you do and you hate your boss and you hate your work colleagues and you don't like what you're doing, you have something else in you that's going to support you and support the world better. But you have to make a decision that you have to put the right thoughts into your head. You have to consume the right information. You have to surround yourself with the right people that can help make that vision become a reality. I spoke about it in my book that when you hold the envision in mind and you have your why, and one of the reasons I write all my goals down on my whiteboards is so that I know what I'm working towards. Everything is either a hell yeah or it's a no. If it's not supporting the end goal, I don't do it. If it is, I'm all in. So when you know what that end goal is and you find your why that's going to keep you going in the days you don't want to go, if you don't want to go back to that office because you hated your boss and you want to work for yourself, if you want to be in a relationship where your partner loves you because you were abused once, you have to find out what it is you want and then have a strong enough why so that every single day you're consuming the right information, you're doing the right things that's moving you in that direction. When you love the process and when you've got a ladder against the right wall, and I spoke in the book that when your ladder's at the bottom against the right wall and you're moving up that ladder, you're better than being halfway up the ladder against the wrong wall, because when you're moving in the direction of what you were put on this planet to do, and that's relative for you and find what that means for you, happiness comes as a result. Happiness comes from process. It's never at the top of the mountain. Happiness isn't at the top. The happiness is the journey. But if you're not happy on the journey, you're not going to be happy at the destination. So my advice would be is find out what it is that you would do for free. What is it that you love? What are the things that make you happy? And then start consuming information that supports that envision of who you want to be. And then do that every single day. Step by step, we get ahead, not necessarily in fast spurts, but it starts with a decision. Make that decision, then consume the right information, surround yourself with the right people, and then go do it. Okay, that's everything from today's podcast. For more information on me or my programs, my top 50 program, BKF Online, my GA Lean Body, or my new GA Youth program, head over to my website, www.briankeyfitness.com. My Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube is all Brian Key Fitness, and my Snapchat, BrianK019. Thanks to Coleman Boxonic for putting together all my podcasts. And you all soon.